What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Hoping you had a wonderful Valentine's Day this past week, or Chris's Singles Awareness Day, a.k.a. SAD. We invite you to stay tuned. Thank you for joining us on Into Tomorrow for the weekend of February 15th, 2019. And we're broadcasting from the OWC studios. OWC is your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Be sure to check out this special website for Into Tomorrow listeners, owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into. Erasmo's in the control room. Horatio working with us out of New York. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And you looked like you had something to say. Like you were just
biting the bit, waiting. But by the time the time comes up, I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay, it was only 10 seconds.
Well, that's a long time for me.
Okay, well then let me help you. Tech news and commentary in this segment, and then we will jump to more of your calls because we want to solve any tech question, answer them for you, perhaps some digital dilemmas that you may have. It's our job in 24 years doing this show, and we'll keep doing it till we get it right, I promise, to share with you all the latest in consumer tech and try to help you make decisions that you may need to make or want to make, or you want to be the first on your block for some new technology. We'll try to help you with that, too. And the way to participate, very easy. The old-fashioned way works the best. You pick up a phone and you dial the following number, or you punch the buttons because there's really no more dialing. You know, I had a millennial ask me the other day, why do we say dial? You know, we're not dialing. I said, you ever heard of a rotary dial phone? No. Oh, come on. You've had to have heard of one or seen one somewhere. No. Oh, wait, is that where you put your finger in and you turn something? Yeah, you turn something. You turn the dial. Oh, well, then why do we still say dial? I said, okay, well, you say whatever you want. Well, just call me. Punch in the digits.
You know, the same kid would probably be surprised to find that even before that, you didn't even dial. You just picked up the little receiver and were connected directly to the operator, who then connected you to whatever you
wanted. Now, you see, yes, even though I'm going to be older in a couple of weeks, I didn't do that. I always at least dialed. I never picked up and had an operator, although we did, when I was much younger, have a party line. And I'd pick up the phone sometimes and the neighbor was on it, which I always thought was weird. But that's how you saved money. You had party lines as well. And you shared it with a couple of other people. But then if you pick up and had dial tone, then you could then dial your phone and call somebody. But I'm not old enough to have, hello, operator, can you connect me with, you know, no, didn't do that. I did occasionally dial operator and 411 back in the day, and those are long gone days. That was for information, you know, or operator. It was a live person. I don't think anything happens if you dial operator now, does it?
Probably. I don't know.
I've not had to do it.
But what you were getting at before we got on this tangent was that you can call the show anytime to participate.
Oh, yes. And you can either dial or punch in the digits,
yes,
or...
Right. Dial or punch in 800-899-INTO, which is 800-899-4686.
But don't punch your phone too hard, because even if your Gorilla Glass might not handle it.
Well, sometimes I want to punch my phone.
All right. Well, when the ex calls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and that's the other thing these kids don't understand nowadays is, you know, you can no longer angrily hang up a phone, because you used to be able to just slam the receiver down on the phone and it was, you know, you made that ding and it was great. Nowadays, you're angry, you just push that little end button.
I usually say, does this sound like I'm hanging up? Boom. You know. And then they at least get it. You get a little venting out before you disconnect. Mm-hmm. Or slam the phone down without hurting it. You could try that. Don't do that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, tech news and commentary. Did I mention that?
Yeah, so I've got a story that really smells of somebody that's just trying to beat the system, in my opinion. Okay. A driver in New Jersey says that the autopilot feature in his Tesla car caused him to crash on the highway. The 32-year-old driver told police that he believes his Tesla Model X got confused on a highway in New Brunswick. He said the car's autopilot sensor apparently mistook diagonal white lines on the road for a new lane. According to the police report, the SUV was in the right lane and veered into the exit lane, where it struck the curb, hit two traffic sign supports, traveled across the lane that would merge traffic onto Adams, and over the curb onto a grassy area.
I think his automatic driving system was drunk, meaning him.
Yeah, well, the driver said that he was unable to course correct because the steering wheel was locked in place.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Now, police say there was no sign of intoxication, no summons were issued, and there were no other witnesses to what happened. Now, of course, Tesla said in a statement, "Since we launched Autopilot in 2015, we are not aware of a single instance in which Autopilot refused to disengage."
No problemo.
The company also noted that drivers can override the autopilot any time and bypass it by tapping the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really sounds to me like this guy's just trying to beat the system and
yes.
managed to get away with that without a ticket.
Well, how does that happen? That's not effective. The guy's nuts.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the officer who didn't write him up was a little misguided as well, because just tap the brake, boom, done. But you can certainly take control. That's the whole point with autopilot. You have to allow manual intervention at any moment.
Yeah, and for it to go through all of that and hit the signpost and run over the curb for him, you know, and not to be able to react, it smells fishy to me.
Yeah. I don't think that's appropriate. Either that or they should suspend the driver's license of the autopilot.
That's more likely.
Yeah. Nintendo's been making strides in helping users avoid video game addiction, such as through features that limit playtime. According to the Nintendo president, he said, "I think that further implementing features like this and raising awareness among more people that these features do exist is one way we can face the issues with gaming addiction." And he's right about that, but he's also, of course, trying to cover his butt, because they're basically saying, hey, we've got features built in so you can force some break time here, get away from the game, and we want you to do that because we want you to get back to the game. But don't be addicted to the game. So that is appropriate, because if they can self-police themselves, they probably won't have to have regulations to deal with all of these gaming issues, because there is game addiction amongst many people, and they have to be concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you've heard a couple of stories from, I think, you know, luckily they've been overseas, but you know, not here, but where people, or mainly kids, have played these games for 3 or 4 days straight without sleeping or eating, and they end up, you know, in the hospital or with heart attacks and drop dead, and it's not safe.
Yeah, very true. So we want to do everything we can to help in that scenario, and so does the Nintendo president, which is why they've said what they've said and that they're doing, and that more and more people need to be aware that these systems are in place to take advantage of them, especially if you have kids that are just constantly playing the games. Then exercise these restrictions, these features, as the Nintendo president called them.
Marines at Camp Pendleton, California, have successfully 3D printed a reinforced concrete bridge. According to the Marine Corps, the accomplishment is the first time in the Western Hemisphere that a bridge has been 3D printed on site as opposed to in a factory. A Marine spokeswoman said that it took 14 hours of printing to create the pieces of the bridge. She says, however, they didn't run the printer for 14 continuous hours. She said it took about 3 days, working for 8 hours per day and going home at night. After completing the printing, the Corps let the concrete pieces of the bridge cure for 36 hours before assembling the bridge. The spokeswoman said that it took less than 4 hours to put the bridge together. The bridge is just the latest example of 3D printing innovation by the Marine Corps. Last year, Marines used a specialized 3D concrete printer to print a 500-square-foot barracks room in just 40 hours. So, hoorah.
Hoorah. But I never heard you say what kind of bridge. I'm guessing just a footbridge.
It's just a footbridge.
Okay. Because if you were going to tell me, and then they drove 3 tanks across the river, that was going to be bizarre.
All in due time.
Well, that's true. I mean, if they can do a footbridge, then the next thing is light vehicles or motorcycles, and then cars and trucks and tanks. And
yeah, wow. And they didn't print it in place. I mean, they printed it on site, but then assembled the pieces.
Sure.
But again, to be able to build a bridge like this with a 3D concrete printer in such a short time is pretty good.
In and of itself is a very interesting feat. And I'm glad it was our military that did that for the first time, and hopefully has plans to continue that. Because as long as you've got a generator that can give you power for the 3D printer and then all the necessary materials, why not? And be able, can you imagine? That's awesome. being if somebody blows up a bridge, no problem. We'll build another one.
Exactly.
Right here on site.
You know, the U.S. Marines have proven time and time again that there's no obstacle too big.
I love it. That's cool. The Trump administration directing government departments to incorporate artificial intelligence technology into operations. The American AI Initiative executive order is asking agencies to allot funds to AI, which is pretty cool. So first country that I'm aware of where the leader has said, no, maybe China, I don't know, but we're going to do this, and making sure, because it is certainly up and coming in terms of reliable technology in many cases, to say, let's make sure that this American AI initiative becomes reality, and a lot of departments can be doing things with artificial intelligence to make a difference and make sense out of the whole thing. And along those lines, kind of, sort of, Microsoft working on touch-sensitive smart fabric technology for use in its Surface laptops and other devices, they say. According to a patent filed by Microsoft, the patent outlines a device using multiple sensors to allow users greater control with touch and gestures. I'm not sure how that's going to work, though, on the Surface laptop. Touch-sensitive smart fabric. So, like a case on the Surface Pro that you can, you know, touch the back of it in certain ways and it'll make it do things? I don't know.
Well, and we've seen, you know, over the years that a lot of patents never really happen. It's just companies tend to patent a concept so that they can pretty much get this idea patented before anybody else comes up with it.
But one patent did work, general patent.
Alrighty.
Sorry.
A Spanish 19-year-old born with only one arm said that his childhood love of Legos led him to building a prosthetic arm out of the little bricks.
I heard about this story. I even saw a video. This guy's amazing.
Yeah. David Aguilar, who has been studying bioengineering at Barcelona's International University of Catalonia.
Excuse me, Barcelona.
So, well, you know, excuse me. Yeah. He said he's been tinkering with Lego inventions since he was about 9 years old, and the hobby led to his developing a Lego prosthetic arm. He said he has built his first arm when he was 18, and he now has several versions with a variety of functions. He said the arms contain small motors inside to help the elbows and hands function like a biological limb.
Hmm.
Aguilar said that he's studying to design low-cost prosthetics for people unable to afford more expensive limbs.
And I tell you what, and this is with Legos, you said,
yeah,
right? If Lego hasn't by now or very soon stepped up with an incredible grant and cases of Legos for him to do this to help other people, shame on Lego. Mm-hmm. Because this is perfect for them. A nice white hat issue, feather in their cap, whatever you want to call it. A great way to encourage this young man who's helping others and himself with artificial limbs. I think that's amazing. I mean, next step is a Lego leg. Why not? Let them take advantage of it if they're providing grant and research and motors and the ability to make these things happen. That's awesome. And kudos to this guy. He's doing a heck of a job. I'm encouraged by that. Google Pixel is seeing an explosion in popularity thanks to its wide array of top-notch features that include the Android 9 Pie operating system. That's a high-performance camera as well built into the system, Google Assistant, and finally some competitive pricing. Strategy Analytics said in a recent report that the Pixel is the fastest-growing smartphone brand in the nation and a top iPhone rival. So if you're kicking it around, you're already an Android dude like myself or dudette, and you want to consider a different phone, if you've not tried a Pixel, maybe that's going to be your next phone. Or if you're an iPhone-y and you want to come to the light side from the dark side, don't give me that look, then you might want to consider a Google Pixel.
I will not be moving to an Android phone. I've been saying for years that
you say
I've
that used, now, but
I have used iPhones since they came out in 2007, and it's taken me 12 years, and I still don't know how to use all of the features in this phone. I'm not going to start all over and have to learn how to use a whole new operating system.
It's easy.
Yeah, you say that.
I speak the truth.
I had to
You've been using iPhones since the beginning, but not just. You've used Android in between.
And I hated it.
No, you didn't. You have anything else for us?
Sure.
All right. And then we should actually go to a call because Ed's waiting.
Okay. Well, quick before we get to Ed, the operator of Frankfurt's International Airport says that it's developing a concept for electric air taxi services. Fraport AG is working with Volocopter, who makes two-seat multi-rotor electric aircraft that can fly with a pilot or autonomously.
Nice.
Actually, operating such taxis to bring people to and from the airport will have to wait until the legal framework for autonomous flying is established and such an aircraft can be certified for passenger use. Volocopter says its aircraft, based on drone technology and flight tested in Dubai, are quiet, safe, and local emissions free. The idea ultimately would be to operate pilotless when the legal framework is in place. The EASA, which is the European counterpart to our FAA, says that it's developing standards to enable certification of these kinds of aircraft.
I would love it. You know, I've always dreamt of having like a little one- or two-seater helicopter or something that I can just take off and go where I need to go and come back. And that will probably be the scenario for the flying cars that by now many of us thought we would have. Just like we need those all over the air and causing problems. But this, I think, will be very cool. And if it's quiet enough and, you know, not as noisy as one would expect for it to be that big, that's also cool. So it won't be quite as obtrusive, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm worried about getting into an autonomous car. You won't find me crawling into an autonomous flying helicopter.
At least the autonomous car, for the most part, you're on the ground.
Yeah.
And you get
you
off
don't
the road.
Want to be on the ground.
Yeah, bro, that's true. At least not quickly.
Yeah.
Not rapidly on the ground. But there's a lot of potential there. I saw a video the other day of a one-seater drone, and guy would get in and had a cyclic control stick. And similar to a helicopter, but said very easy to learn and to use and was just up and flying around open fields. And I thought, oh, sure, you don't trust your own thing to fly over a city, do you? That and the fact that they probably wouldn't be allowed to yet.
Yeah.
But it looked similarly easy. I would hope that and autonomous, though, yeah, that scares me. Because, sure, take over the wheel, but then what? You know, you're falling to earth at 180 miles an hour or something. Ed in Nashville, Tennessee, listens on Supertalk WTN 99.7 FM. Hello, Ed.
Very simply, will the iPhone SE continue to be compatible and usable in the coming years? You know, not the 8 or X or whatever, but the SE, the simple one.
Well, Ed, that's really hard to say. Of course, Apple no longer selling the SE, obviously, and whether or not it stays supported will likely hinge on how many users they can't get to upgrade and how much money those users represent. Because realistically, the SE was a problem. The screen being so small is an issue for designing standard UI, UX, and Apple will have to spend money to keep it around and expect other developers to spend money to keep supporting it.
Now, what we know for sure is that it's supported in the latest iOS and discontinued from future sales. The end of life for the phone is not clear yet, but the 5S and SE are currently the smallest supported phones. The 5S is the oldest, too. Apple may decide not to update it to a new OS after the next release or the one after that, and they may stop patching it altogether after that. Of course, that would be normal and expected given the age of the model by then, so you'd probably have a couple of years left of having security updates available for that phone. After that, it may be smart to move on just because your own risk increases when security updates stop. But for now, it's a supported phone, and so far we haven't heard anything about that support coming to an end.
Yeah, Ed, hope that helped you out. If you've got any additional input for Ed or anyone else for that matter, 800-899-INTO. We'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
The OWC Envoy Pro EX with Thunderbolt 3 is the ultimate external SSD, inside and out. Designed for demanding mobile workflows that require extreme portability, the OWC Envoy Pro EX delivers a military drop test enclosure and a protective impact-absorbing bumper for added security. And with elite speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second, the Envoy Pro EX provides performance for creative professionals in need of ultra-fast backup, duplication, and editing. Learn more at owc.com/into.
Well, Want a really good laptop, but you don't want to break the bank? Looking to upgrade your desktop, maybe, or trick out a gaming system? Well, you can call Into Tomorrow anytime. We're happy to provide our input and that of our listeners for you. That number to call anytime, 24/7?
800-899-4686. It's 800-899-INTO. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000. Again, that's the word radio to 35,000.
It's time for our info history feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past.
Here's Chris Graveline.
IFA history, IFA history.
In 1973, the Internationale Funkausstellung in Berlin, today known as IFA, saw the market introduction of the first home video recording system in the world, the VCR system by Philips and Grundig. Home video recording had been made possible by an invention of Telefunken engineers, Helical Scan, which allowed the machines to record in very small tracks without crosstalk. Telefunken and Teldec, the joint record company of Telefunken and Decca, introduced the first picture disc named TED. The TED disc was read with a pickup needle, like a long play audio record. That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
And hit us up at intotomorrow.com while you're at it.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
Covering the nearly $350 billion consumer electronics industry for 23 years now, by the way. You're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. The most important thing you can do as a listener of our broadcasts is to call in and participate. And you can do that anytime, 24/7. I'm about to give you our toll-free number. It's great from anywhere and free, toll-free from anywhere in North America. Skype into it from anywhere in the world if you'd like so that we hear you on the air. You get to hear us, or you have to put up with hearing us. We would like to hear you as well. 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686, anytime, 24/7. If you've got a consumer tech question, comment, concern, you want to share some tech rage, whatever the case, do let us hear from you, because you make the show. Joining us now is a guest from a company that provides a robotic process automation software solution. What? We're going to find out what that is. For data entry tasks, the founder and CEO of EnableSoft is Richard Milam. Richard, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Dave.
Glad to have you with us as well. Tell me a little bit about EnableSoft, and then let's get into what a robotic process automation software solution is.
Well, we've been around for 23 years as well, incidentally.
Oh, cool.
We developed technology 23 years ago to help financial institutions move data when they acquired other financial institutions. You might recall the savings and loans were made insolvent overnight in the 90s, and banks were buying them up, and that was a good thing, but they had to move the data very fast, and there was no way to do that programmatically. The vendors couldn't respond. So you'd walk into a bank boardroom, and there'd be a dozen PCs and people sitting there keying in names and addresses and account information off of green bar reports. Hmm. And I have a technical background and a sales background, and I was working with a banker to help manage those processes and realize the need for technology to kind of automate. There was, you know, there's macros and there's cut and paste software to augment it, but there was no real industrial strength solution to do that. So we created one, and, you know, 23 years later, it turns out we are one of a handful of players in the world that actually have created what's now called robotic process automation, which is software operating other software to mimic what a human does to do a workflow or a task or to move data or manage data. And, you know, in the world of business, there's thousands of manual tasks that go on all the time, everything from updating mailing lists to data breach recovery to interfacing systems that that don't talk to each other, and this RPA or intelligent automation, which is the foundation for what was being called artificial intelligence, is going to be very big. It's already started to be big. The Fortune 500 companies are already doing it, and we're kind of the smartphone of RPA. We are easy to implement and use and learn, and doesn't involve a big IT project to get an automation running.
And I guess from a consumer standpoint, we can all relate as consumers to hearing about robots really infiltrating the workplace. We've talked on the show about Flippy the robot making hamburgers instead of Phil doing it. You can walk into a lot of fast food places and they've got a kiosk now where you put in your own order and plus or minus ingredients and that kind of thing. So you're really not even interfacing with a human. The order then goes in the kitchen and then they produce it, hopefully correctly. But there's all this robotic information, or from a consumer standpoint again, since we obviously talk to consumers, can hopefully in the long run help things, which means if it speeds up their business, it can help me as a consumer getting my fast food faster and more accurately, I guess.
Well, there's always technology always cuts both ways, right? I mean, the advantage of speeding things up is that company can be grow faster and employ more people, and technology can free people up to do more human-oriented thinking, knowledge worker type task, subject matter expert functions. And then people, the other side of it is people have to adjust and adjust their job skill set to be one that manages a robot versus do the job.
Oh, sure. And Richard, do you see your technology ultimately replacing more and more workers, kind of like the kiosk in the fast food place replacing a couple of kids behind the counter that perhaps, you know, aren't as effective in the long run?
Well, Dave, we've been doing this a long time with over 500 financial institutions and 40 major healthcare companies, and I'm not seeing staffs being cut. I'm seeing maybe some attrition going on and people not being replaced. I see organizations able to grow without duplicating in a linear fashion the staff so they can grow more effectively. But I think spreadsheets and Excel, the ability to work a spreadsheet has become a necessary business tool for a knowledge worker, whether you're working on your own stuff as a consumer or a business. I think being able to manage robots, especially software robots, is going to be a required tool set.
And we hear about things, I can kind of hear some in my audience screaming at me in my head saying, yes, but robots are taking over the world. And is that necessarily a bad thing? As you mentioned, to help a business be much more productive and automate some of the processes that need to be done, especially some of the monotonous kinds of things that a human had been doing. And then because it's so monotonous, sometimes the input is wrong anyway. So now, if you know, it seems like in this case, robots taking over is not a bad thing.
Well, it's not a new thing, right? The Industrial Revolution, people's jobs changed and technology came along. But this is happening fast. You know, we like it when we can order our pizza online and get it quickly. delivered, but you know, when it affects your ability to get a job or your kids, sometimes we are frustrated, and rightly so. But I think it's you gotta move with the flow and have a different mindset. Well, how do I become valuable to a company to enable those functions? And you know, robots only do what humans can teach them to do. This thing of artificial intelligence is coming. The ability for software technology to read unstructured data and do something with it is not really ready for prime time yet. But it's coming.
But would you think similarly, Richard, that maybe businesses that are not thinking about automating various processes and using automation software and that kind of thing are going to be left in the dust? Or because it's not ready for prime time, they've got a few years to kind of start looking into it?
Well, the automation part of it is ready for prime time. Kind of the artificial intelligence, the natural language processing, cognitive decision making is not really ready because a lot of data and test cases to make that work. But processes that involve rules and structured data are being used by businesses worldwide today. And yeah, I think companies that don't embrace that an efficiency culture are going to get left in the dust, just like the software development methodology is not, designed for months and then developed for multiple months, and it's gone to a scrum, they call, type of methodology where you build and deliver little pieces of software very fast. That's just the way the world's changing.
Oh, for sure, by all means. Well, you can amplify your operational efficiency as well if you own a business or perhaps work at a business and are not looking to be replaced but looking to help your company be more productive. Do check out EnableSoft.com. Founder and CEO of EnableSoft, Richard Milam, thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and good luck to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Dave. It was a pleasure.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation? Drops in the dollar's value? Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
More devices, more screens means more opportunities for content owners to move more entertainment material to us consumers. Well, we wonder, what content are you looking for? And are you watching less actual TV these days? Don't just answer to the radio, because I can't hear you that way. But instead, call us and offer your opinion, maybe your tech rage, maybe your questions at 800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO. Very easy to join us anytime, day or night. And we'll get you on the next show and you'll win some fabulous prizes. Stay tuned. We're going to share that with you as well, which ones are available these days when you participate. Erasmo's in the control room. I'm Dave Graveline. This is Into Tomorrow.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by OWC, your source for connecting your laptop to the world. Special Into Tomorrow products and pricing at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
And Larry in Metamora, Michigan. Hope I'm saying that right.
Metamora.
Metamora.
Yes.
Metamora, Michigan. Anyway, he listens, he says, mostly to the Free Into Tomorrow podcasts, but very frequently also hears us on AM 800 CKLW, the information station from over there across the water. Hey, Larry.
Do you know of any good programs that you can use to take the text of a manual, a work manual, and convert it to speech so that the end user could listen to it on an Android phone while they're commuting as opposed to reading the text itself?
I think that's a pretty good question, Larry. If you're looking into turning a single manual to speech one time rather than doing this a lot, you may be better off using a free online translator. Now, there are some that don't have tight limits and will let you translate long texts, and they'll just turn them into an MP3 that you can then load onto any device you'd like, whether it be an Android phone or otherwise. If you're open to trying that, you can give fromtexttospeech.com. It's a long URL, but you can try giving them a shot, or text the number tospeech.org, assuming your manual is less than 4,000 characters, so it depends, obviously.
Yeah, naturalreaders.com may be your best option if the manual is long. They limit free use of their premium voices to 20 minutes, but their non-premium ones don't have a time limit. They also allow you to update a wide variety of file formats rather than forcing you to paste the plain text in.
Would I be a premium voice?
You'd be an extra premium voice.
Oh, isn't that nice? Sure. Keep in mind that text-to-speech often falls short, though, in some areas that may make it a poor fit for a work manual. For example, it won't be great for reading tables, and you may read a lot of figure two instead of being able to explain anything. The correct assembly. You know, you see what I'm saying? Without knowing what figure two even looked like.
And the other clear downside is that robotic voices are really hard to like. We have smart assistants and text-to-speech, but we still hire live actors to read our audiobooks for a fee. It's really hard to sit there for hours listening to a clunky voice with an unnatural cadence. That's the reason premium voices like the ones from naturalreaders.com go for more money. But even those are usually not great. Siri, Alexa, and all other voice assistants sound reasonably good, but would you really want to listen to them going on and on for hours?
That's a good point.
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Well, except for that, of course. You could listen to the show for hours. We do have a three-hour show every week. But, Larry, I hope we helped you out. Don't worry if you were driving at the time or unavailable to make notes of the various suggestions we made. They're on our website for you at intotomorrow.com. Look for the show for the weekend of February 15th. Not just Larry, but anybody interested in what he asked about. And hour three, you'll see Larry's call and our show notes, our answer there for you, and make it a little bit easier for you. Mike in Michigan listens on AM 800 CKLW. Hello, Mike.
I have an old hard drive from a very old system that locked up on me, and I have pictures on it I'd like to get off. I kept the hard drive, got rid of the computer, but I'd like to know if there's any way I can access this hard drive from another source to retain my pictures.
Oh, and that's very important, Mike. Assuming that hard drive wasn't what caused the old computer to lock up, you should be able to read it. Your best bet is probably to buy a cheap enclosure, dock, or cable, and connect your old hard drive that way. Since you mentioned it's very old, check the connector. You may have an IDE drive, so have a look at it before you buy anything. But either way, you should be able to find an adapter that lets you access the drive using a USB port.
Yeah, and you would know if it's an IDE drive if you look at the back of it, and it's got a whole row, two rows of pins all the way down. It's like a long connector. That's IDE. Okay. If it doesn't have two rows of pins, you got a stated drive, and you'll be more easily find a drive.
Yeah, that's more current cables available. Yeah.
Now, you should move your pictures off the drive as soon as you can. If your drive is very old, your data or its components may not be aging very well. As time goes by, it'll be harder to find devices and drivers to interface your old drive to your newer computer. So it's a good idea to transfer anything you don't want to lose while you still can.
Yeah, and with all due respect, Mike, we're not telling you that you messed up or anything, but we always remind you every week on the show, one way or another, back up, back up, back up. And you mentioned some important pictures you'd like to retain, or maybe there's documents or some videos or any number of important things. always back up your computers, because it's not a matter of if a hard drive will fail. It's a matter of when, because they will. They all do. So even SSD, there could be any number of things that happen without moving parts, but still, it could fail on you. Back up everything as much as you can, preferably to a backup off-site, whether it be a cloud or grandma's house or something, where you've got the ability to go back and get important things and back up frequently.
Yeah, even if you have, you know, if you have things backed up on old CD or DVDs, you want to get those off there as well, because they last typically longer than a hard drive, but they don't last forever either.
Yeah.
After several years, they'll start to decay and fall apart.
You may not even have a reader available for them, so back them up in various digital forms. More details and hints for you at intotomorrow.com.
Need top marketing talent at a fraction of the cost of marketing agencies? Code Orange gives clients access to top marketers, brand experts, designers, website and mobile app developers, and search engine marketing pros that work for you as an extension of your team. Our experts have worked with brands like Coca-Cola, the X Games, Chanel, Carnival, Twix, and Samsung. Whether your company is big or small, we're your marketing department on demand. Learn more at codeorange.com.
Years ago, the internet was an escape from the real world. Well, now the real world is an escape from the internet. Well, let us be your escape every week into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. And don't forget, you can listen to all 3 hours of Into Tomorrow via our website at intotomorrow.com. Streaming is provided by streamguys.com.
John in Raleigh, North Carolina, listens on News Radio 680 WPTF. Hello, John.
I have Windows 10 with the start menu, and I have Microsoft Word 2007, and something started happening recently. Every time I open a Word document, I get an error message saying, cannot open because a dialog box is open. Click OK, then close the dialog box to continue. I appreciate it if you could tell me how to get rid of this message. Thank you.
Well, John, that typically happens when the template Word opens on startup. It contains a macro that automatically opens a dialog. Now, you can get rid of the problem by finding Word's startup folder on Windows 10. It may be at a very long, convoluted website. So we're, or not website, but link we're going to show you at intotomorrow.com. And then you delete the template from there. Don't worry. We'll have all this, as I mentioned, on the site at intotomorrow.com. Just go there and look for Hour 3 for the show from February 15th, 2019.
Yeah, and if you find and delete that template, the problem hopefully will disappear along with it.
Yeah, that's the best way. When you call in to participate, no promises, no guarantees, but you can win some fabulous prizes. These days, we've got some goodies like drones from AEE Drones and Cams.
We got the chalkboard hat bundles from Chalk and Social to promote FaceTime.
Mono Price MP Select Mini 3D printers.
From Tableau, we got the Tableau Dual Whole Home DVR.
You get the idea? Call us at 800-899-INTO. We'll see you.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks. Available in your app store or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.